I am still the Reverend Kingsbury. It's my pleasure to be with you this evening, and it's my privilege also to bring special greetings on behalf of our congregation, Park Hill Presbyterian Church. It's our pleasure to be able to host you during the significant event in your life as a congregation, and now to give to you this charge as you welcome Sean Mathis as pastor amongst you. Don't worry, I won't make you stand. I get the crowd on my side. I was trying to remember how many of these services I've done or participated in since myself being ordained. Right there, getting the same charge from Archie and also being made to stand by Archie. And it seems like I always draw the charge to the congregation. Being a good thrifty Presbyterian, I therefore have stuck steadfastly to the one text. Why bother? You wrote one charge. Why do another one? But then it got posted on the OP website, and so on the one hand, I was glad to be invited to give the charge to the congregation, but also was saddened because I had to come up with something new, which brought me then, in the Lord's providence, to, this is an ironic statement, to Ephesians chapter 4. So please, if you would, direct your attention with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll hear now verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the way, about by everything, by human cunning, by craft and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I have but a few observations on the text. I'm sure to the disappointment of everyone, I'm not going to exposit verses 9 and 10, which are the more racy bits in Ephesians chapter 4. But I want to draw your attention to the more obvious bits, for after all, what is preaching but pointing out that which is plain and obvious in the Scriptures? Here the apostle describes what the church ought to be, how chapter 4 begins, calling them to unity, calling you to unity as a congregation of our Savior Jesus Christ. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. What does that mean, that you are one, with one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one hope? It means that you are, of course, as the Apostle says, the one body of Jesus Christ, joined together, knit together into one. Various members, again picking up on his theme that he exposits so fully and completely in 1 Corinthians 12, the church as the body of Christ, Christ being the head, and each member of the church being a member of the body. And you notice the play on the terms there. We think members of the church as a group of individuals, but we cannot think of the members of the body as an assortment of individuals. And so the very word that we so often use to refer to ourselves as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, when read through the lens of the Scriptures themselves, ought to drive you to conceive of yourself not as a collection of individuals who has come together perhaps once or twice a week, come together for certain functions, but otherwise essentially a collection of individuals, but rather to see yourselves as one, just as the members of the body cannot be divided one from another, but rather each being part of a whole, one part of the body being removed, not being considered an individual, but being considered a broken piece, which is the whole from which it is divided, itself broken, itself lacking. This is what it means to be in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be no longer children carried away by every wave of doctrine. It is to be one in love, one in the body of Christ, one in encouraging one another, one in growing into the very image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I hope you notice the Apostle's point here as well in speaking of members as he articulates it in verse 7 and then goes on to expound it later on in our text. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Again, perhaps repeating himself a wee bit from 1 Corinthians 12, that every member of the church has been given a gift or gifts, spiritual gifts from the indwelling of the Spirit within them, each of you having a gift that you are to use in the service of one another in the body of Jesus Christ. But did you notice verses 11 and 12? The gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God has given to the body, are not really properly conceived of as individual talents. Although each individual does have talents, indeed, each individual can do one or any number of things by the power of the Spirit for the glory of God. Rather, the gifts that God gives to His church are better conceived of as persons. You'll notice in verse 11, He speaks not of gifts in the abstract, the gift of preaching, the gift of teaching, the gift of service, even though the Apostle Paul does so elsewhere in his writings that we have for us in the New Testament, but specifically he speaks of them as the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Who was left standing from verse 11? Well, us pastors and teachers, the age of the apostles and the prophets, having passed their work, having been done. Pastors are gifts, just as you, each one of you, are gifts to the body of Christ. The pastor has been raised up by God to be a shepherd of the sheep, certainly. And with the very same breath, a servant, as Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, is the chief and greatest servant, the one who has humbled himself in service and servitude to his people far more than anyone before or since has. That is a calling of your pastor whom you receive this evening to serve you. But for what end? To equip the saints, and that is you, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Somebody must have written a book that I missed, because in the last year or so, I keep running across several people saying the same thing, which is this, a conception of the ministry of the pastor as a chaplain, and they all say chaplain, so it's really interesting that it sticks on that one term, And the point of thinking, or the point of the model, the pastor as a chaplain, is this. The pastor is a religious professional who has been hired by the congregation to perform religious tasks, such as preaching, leading in worship, marrying, burying, baptizing. That's his function. And so religious work is the work of the man who is hired to do it. He is, after all, the minister. And he is to minister on behalf of the congregation. That, of course, is not the biblical picture of the work of the pastor, of the teacher. He is not the minister, although certainly he is a minister, and within our churches we give him in particular the title of minister. The scriptures say, Ephesians 4:12 say, that the saints are ministers who are to perform the works of ministry, to serve one another. That the ministry of the church is not given over to a man or to a class of men. Rather, it is given to all the members of the church as God has gifted them, as God has made them, has made you to be gifts. I keep running across some other people, and I know that there was a book written on this, who complain about the notion of every member ministry, which I've just said, that that's not really a good idea. And I think what they want to do, and this is a good thing, they want to preserve the honor and dignity that belongs to the office of minister, bishop, pastor, teacher, elder, ruler within the Church of Jesus Christ, the minister of word and sacrament. And being so fully committed to an understanding of the ministry of the Spirit and to the necessity of the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the minister of word and sacrament is to well nigh be an Episcopalian, but not. I have some sympathy with that. But at the end of the day, that complaint fails in the light of simple biblical exegesis. You don't even have to do exegesis. You just have to read Ephesians 4:12. Pastors have been raised up. Sean Mathis has been raised up. Sean Mathis has received now, before your very eyes, the Holy Spirit, gifted by the Holy Spirit, as Paul himself will tell Timothy, his disciple, his heir in preaching and pastoral ministry, has received the Spirit for his particular work, his particular service in your midst of equipping you for ministry. What is your charge then as a church of Jesus Christ? What is your charge in relationship to this man whom you have called to serve you as a pastor? Your charge is to allow him to use his gifts as God has given them to him, to the end that God has given them to him. To minister amongst you that you might be equipped. To allow him to labor in such a way that you are able to minister to one another. That you are able to minister to those who are outside the church and need the comfort of Christ in his preaching, in his teaching, in his counseling, in his administration of the sacraments, however it is that he, in your life as a body, ministers to you. Be empowered and equipped by that to serve and to minister. By all means, do not stand back at any point from this point on in your life as a congregation and ask, why aren't things happening? Why isn't our church the way it's supposed to be? Why isn't Pastor Mathis doing this, that, or the other thing? It's the elder's job to beat up on him, and I'm sure they'll be faithful in that task. But when that question comes up, put your name in there. Why isn't the church doing? I don't know. I don't know why the church isn't doing. Because certainly the Spirit has raised up faithful pastors to preach the word and to equip you. Now, he will fail. And you will fail. Sean, no doubt, will be as faithless to the charge that was just given to him as I have been, the charge that Pastor Allison gave me, lo, these many years ago. I don't know how faithful Park Hill has been in the charge that Larry Kennard gave that night either. I don't know how faithful any of us are, except to say, not very. So isn't it necessary to remember that as we speak that harsh truth, as we realize our failings, as you realize how you have failed your pastors in times past and how you're prone and likely to fail your pastor in times yet to come, if this is a truth which can be spoken in love, because by recognizing that and by committing yourself tonight as you have in receiving this man as your pastor, then you are growing into him who is the head, who is no pastor, who is no mere minister of the gospel, but he who is the gospel himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is knitting you into one body. Your charge is to be one in Christ, because you are one in Christ by the grace of God through the cross of Jesus our Savior. Live by that cross. Live by that grace. Do the work of ministry that God has entrusted to each one of you and to all of you as you truly are one. And by the grace of God, indeed, you shall find at the end of all things that you and all of us together truly are one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, we rejoice in your grace to us sinners. We give you thanks that through the ministry of fallen and imperfect and sinful men, the gospel has gone out and has called us into your church. We thank you that by the means of grace, which ministers of the word are called to give to your sheep the word, sacrament, and prayer, that by these things we have each received a calling. Our Lord, now we pray that we might be found faithful to that call. We pray for Sean Mathis, as now you have set him aside to this great work, and we pray that by your grace he may be found faithful. We pray that by your grace, as his sins and failings are exposed, that you will use even that to build up and to minister to your flock. We pray for this congregation, for Providence Church, that she might continue to grow into one, that you might knit her together more closely, that she may not be simply various members, but all members of one body together, growing up into him who is the head, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord, we pray for your grace and mercy. We pray for the powerful working of your Spirit, the one Spirit who is ours through that one baptism which you have been pleased to give to us. We pray that your Spirit might indwell this body. And we pray that indeed Providence Church might now be growing in a remarkable faith and knowledge of your grace, that the glory which she gives to you now in this world underneath the pastors whom you have raised up to serve her will become more and more and more like that glory, that perfect glory which we shall perfectly give to you in the age which is surely to come, when you return for us in the resurrection which is ours by virtue of your resurrection on our behalf. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing together hymn number 362.
when this service has ended, there are refreshments downstairs. So please refresh yourself. John, would you please close the meeting with the benediction?
And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon you all. Amen.
Amen.